Hello and welcome to the Unusual Stories podcast. My name is Wojciech Salski, I'll be your host for today. And before we start, just a brief reminder, if you'd like to support this podcast, the best way to do so is to click the link and follow either on social media or on your Spotify or Google Podcasts app, whatever you may be using to listen to it, as well as share it with a friend. And this is what I found to be the most impactful in terms of actually spreading the word. There's nothing else like the word of mouth. So if you'd like to support it, if you think like this is something valuable, entertaining, or in any way worthy of your, mine, and anyone else's time, then please do share it with others. And if you'd like to support it in any other way, please follow the link below. There are options there to either purchase one of my books or maybe just support me and help me make this a full-on job, because by now it's still just a passion. Although I wouldn't say it's just a passion. It is a passion, for sure. So, without further ado, we have some stuff to go over here today. And I was thinking which book should I introduce to you next, and this was not an obvious choice. Definitely, I'm wondering to what degree will you like this as a choice per se, because it's not our usual book, or at least it doesn't seem to me like an obvious option to explore on this podcast, especially following the types of books that we've talked about before. But since I've been thinking about it for a while now, and I find this book quite interesting, and I've just finished reading it like a week ago, I think it's a suitable choice, and it is you, my dear listener, that will decide whether or not to pursue this. So this is the book that I will be talking about today. It's called The Nordic Theory of Everything by the author Anu Partanen. And it's interesting, just before we start, I'll give you a brief sort of overview why did I even encounter this book. As I'm studying masters in international business management, we have the international business context and international marketing. And during one of the lectures, we've discussed how cultural differences affect the way, brands brand themselves, as well as people perceive value in different countries. And we've discussed it. And over the course of that discussion, the teacher brought up one of the information package from the book as a reference to discuss one of the aspects of cultural differences. And I found that really interesting. I was intrigued by the title, as well as the survey that was done that my teacher referred to. And so I decided I'll check it out, maybe put it on my list and see if I want to actually read it. I looked it up a little bit, and even though, as I said before, it is not an obvious choice for us to discuss it during this podcast, I think there are enough interesting and, quite frankly, important aspects that are taken up in the book in terms of living in a society and as well perceiving the way you live in a society, the way you find yourself there, as well as your role within it, to be something worth talking about. So here we are. And just a little bit of a background as well. Funnily enough, my sister, dear Hania, is currently living with her boyfriend in Denmark. And they've been living there for 2 years now. And she's also studying there as well as working. So I've been blessed to be exposed to that sort of setting, that culture. And so I'm also a bit more intrigued on that front. Plus, I've been thinking about where to go after UK. At the moment, personal life situation might change. That's always the case. Change is the only certainty in life, for sure. But for the time being, it seems to me that over the course of the next few years, I might be able to both move out of UK if I wish to do so, as well as discuss whether with my girlfriend or with whomever I'm going to be in those years to come, where is the best place to actually, sort of set roots. And of course, Poland has always been there for me. UK, especially Scotland, is definitely deep in my heart. But I've also been considering other countries. And this brought me to appreciate a bit more the different opportunities. And as I see my friends from all walks of life and mostly from United Nations space, sort of the Western world more than the East, moving around, you know, on this social mobility as well as international mobility ladders, and they choose where to set roots, I thought, where is a good place for me? And so, as I mentioned, I am hopeful about the future, by the way. I hope that you are too. I do believe that despite the many turbulations that the world might be going through, I feel humans as a whole, as well as us as individuals, we have this innate ability to overcome difficulties and find solutions to our problems. So therefore, I'm also realistically optimistically at the same time, trying to look forward toward the future with my head held high, and I'm quite excited about it. So I wish that for you as well, as we go into this discourse. So the book itself is quite a hefty one. I did not expect it to be as thick as it came. Nevertheless, I did enjoy it, and I found it very, very interesting, especially the contrast that the author places by contrasting the culture and the situation, circumstance in the United States. The book was published a few years back, so, you know, some of that data that you end up reading within the book might not be up to date per se, but it's certainly fairly up to date, and to the degree that it is, it paints a good picture, I would say, of a contrasting in both culture, perception, and the reality and perception of that reality within both countries. So the author herself, she married an American man, and she moved to United States coming from Finland herself. And so over the course of her experience in both of those places, she ended up writing a book which is basically a sort of a memoir mixed with a research-based explorations of different aspects of culture and public life, as well as different aspects of just being a part of the nation itself as a citizen. And what comes with it, you know, the great and not so great things about both of those countries, as well as comparing them to other Nordic countries. And there is this phenomenon that over the past couple of years, now decades actually, sort of was brought to up in the public sphere, which is the fact that it seems like the Nordic countries are at least... They must be doing something right in terms of allowing their citizens to live healthily and happily. And this is something that really drew attention of author's peers to this sentiment of basically reshaping and revaluing, maybe to an extent, the ideas that the American dream, which you might have heard of before, versus the American dream today, which might, according to the author herself, be much more related now to what happens in the Northern Europe, is. So let's start here for a moment. An interesting thing that I've noticed there is this theme and this idea to which I was not aware of up until very recently, as I read the book and then did some digging online. And it's interesting to note, and I'm very privileged to the point that I don't realize sometimes how privileged I am. And, you know, we've talked about this before on our episode about privileges, that it is not actually so obvious that people around the world have, for example, free healthcare. And are certain that if something, touch wood, happens, they will be able to be helped. They will be able to ask for help. And this obviously, to a degree, I always knew. But at the same time, it's not something that you consider every day, right? I come from Poland, where there is also public health support. It is obviously not as high-end as the private sector might be, but it is nevertheless there. And as long as you're a citizen of Poland, you will be helped for sure. And if you are not a citizen, but you are in Poland, you're more likely to be helped, and then you might incur some charges. But it is not predatory in a sense that there is not much money to be made of your misery. I think that's a good way to put it. And as much as it troubled me to realize this, and I've knew this for quite some time, I just never actually had a chance to explore it from someone, some source that was, you know, talking firsthand of these experiences, I didn't realize to what degree in the United States, and, you know, my dear listeners, many of you, actually somewhere around 40% of you, are from the United States. So I wonder if you agree or disagree, or what are your experiences in that regard. But according to the author, and it seems to me that there is a certain level of taking advantage of people's misery by the system of healthcare that is put in place in the United States. And I found it very troubling, and also I didn't realize to what degree how lucky and privileged and blessed I am to not have to really worry that much, apart from obviously paying some level of taxes and national insurance when I hurt myself. And I think it's important here to note my skateboard accident, because up until now, I'm lucky enough, touch wood again, to not have been in major accidents more than twice. Three times if you count a small accident at the ice rink. But for the most part, you know, I've been keeping myself fairly healthy throughout my life. And I've only had this one serious situation when I've, and this is in the podcast as well, guys, if you'd like to listen to it, it's in the episode right where you are or something like that. I'll link it below. I have a full-on story to tell about that part. But long story short, I basically skated down on my longboard down a steep hill, which I've done plenty of times before. Obviously without a helmet, because, you know, I was just a bit short-sighted, let's say. And that one particular night, I was quite out of it in terms of intoxication. And then luckily, unfortunately, maybe to a degree also, I asked for it. I think I did. I basically skated down the hill on my face. And I was really lucky and blessed to not have had a major injury. I had basically, you know, I split my head open, but it was just an outside hygienic sort of wound. You can see it here. My scar is there and always will be. My eyebrow is slightly shorter on that side because of it, and I had to have a plastic surgery. It was nothing serious, but it was serious enough for me to sort of shake off the silliness of skating, you know, without much thinking about it, and intoxicated to start with. I think it was also one of the breaking points that actually brought me to the moment where I am right now, where I also stopped drinking alcohol, funnily enough. But basically, the thing is, it happened in Wales, and including the taxi that the hospital had to call to get me from one hospital to another, which was like 60 or 70 miles, 100 kilometers or so, from one hospital to another to get that surgery, everything was taken care of, and I had no additional charges on my side. I didn't pay a penny. for being helped when I needed that help. And of course, I do understand that to a certain degree, it might be a good idea to have a healthcare based on people's ability to pay on the private side, but it is also, it seems to me also like healthcare on a basic side to keep us alive, to help us when we most need it, should not be dependent on your ability to pay. Just because life can be quite turbulent, and this is one of those things that can really make or break a person, or literally allow them to be broken. So, taking this back, a theme that goes throughout the whole book that I found really interesting and also sort of made me reflect on those situations of my own is this idea that health and independence may just be the only natural rights that many countries, such as USA, are not allowing their population in the fullest. And independence is there for a reason. If you read the book, you'll see. I'll try to put it in my own words. Basically, according to the author, because of the price of living, of getting education, of getting health benefits, and so on, people in the United States are more likely to be dependent on their parents, their employers, someone else. And that makes their ability to be independent be less than it could be. And the author argues that by providing basic healthcare and basic education for free, the Nordic countries allow their citizens to be free themselves of those interdependencies and also be safe, which brings me to the idea of taxes. And yet again, it's so interesting. I find that maybe this podcast, as I go, you know, it's been 2.5, almost 3 years now, I'm definitely maturing as a person. Everyone is, right? Slowly but surely, and that for sure. But I've also noticed how some of the ideas that I've been talking about before versus what I consider now and I'm sort of sharing with you, this is also much more mature. I remember in the past thinking that taxes are bad in their own right, that in general, and they could be, not just in general taxes, but I do believe that taxes can be taken advantage of and used for bad means, and then those taxes in themselves become bad or malfunctioning, let's say. But if you are blessed to be in a society that works and works well, and arguably, you know, you always will have some problems, and this is something that the author also points out, that even in countries such as Denmark or Finland, where it seems to the world that people are fairly happy, they still see many holes in their ship, so to speak. And that's always the case. We humans like to find problems and to solve them as well. But if you are lucky enough, like myself, to be a part of a country where, for the most part, everything seems to be doing fairly well, you know, there is no constant riots on the street, you don't risk your life if you go to the shop, you have running water and ability to connect to this podcast, you have internet, you know, all of those things we take for granted because they're a part of us, right? They're a part of our everyday life. And as we talked about in the podcast about privilege, these are things that we might take for granted so much that until we really stop and think about them, they are just there. And you don't even consider them as a part of your ability to be and ability to have them. And so on taxes, right? Taxes in a society that works well, and taxes are used for the right reason, for example, to keep peace, to keep healthy, to keep stable both economy and people. These taxes are actually your contribution to this society for what you get. And this is the value for money that the author really points out as a basis for feeling good about paying taxes, which is an interesting concept. You know, I don't think many people would say that they feel good for the taxes they pay. And sometimes when I pay my taxes, I also think, you know, I have different emotions within me. Some of them are negative, some of them are positive. I catch myself thinking, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't be giving so much in my taxes. At the same time, then, you know, I hurt myself and I'm in the hospital and I don't have to incur any payments. And I'm thinking, wow, maybe those taxes didn't go for anything. You know, there is some value in what I've contributed to this society. It's almost like a ticket into a concert. You pay your way in, and luckily the payment is low enough that you can still support yourself while you do your own thing. So spinning off of that, not to go too much into detail, this is a big part of the book itself, this treaty between whether or not health benefits and social support should be there and to what degree. And the author has very interesting ideas about it based on what's going on in different countries around the world. Now, as I said, it's interesting that we have this ability, this likeness, likelihood, likeliness to whine and be unhappy about our situation, our circumstance, even though there are many more that have it even worse. And of course, you know, this is not to help in any way. Just by recognizing that someone has it worse, I don't think you're gonna get much better. But it's definitely useful to recognize it to a degree that you appreciate what you have. And even if it's just a short and sweet realization that you are blessed with many things and recognition of what could be done better and how, by, for example, modeling some other society, group of people or another person, you can alleviate some more of the suffering of yourself and others in the long run. So in this idea, imagine not having the ability to be helped is a really, really powerful move. Imagine for all of you out there who are lucky enough to have healthcare either covered by your insurance or by the government themselves, imagine how it is not to have that. Imagine being in a situation where you're not being able to be helped. And for me, this is almost unimaginable. It's so troubling as an idea because I've just grown to be used to it as part of my life. And so now about the American dream, right? A little bit of a background story. In Poland, especially post-Soviet Poland, between the years of, let's say, 89 and potentially nowadays, although I think with the advent of online technologies, many of those myths have been already busted. But I remember, for me and for my parents even more so, the United States has been sort of painted like this dreamy land of the hope and ability of mankind to do better. And especially for post-Soviet countries that were stricken by the malfunction and maliciousness of such agents like, you know, communism and so forth, it was always this promised land of opportunity. As a child, as a young adult as well, as a youth more than young adult, I wanted to make movies, I wanted to move to Hollywood, I wanted this American dream, I wanted Poland to be more like United States in many ways. And only recently, over the past few years, have I grown to appreciate what we do have in Europe, and have I grown to be a bit more skeptical of what is going on out there. And this is in no way, I don't want this podcast to be in any way, this episode, to be in any way a negative outlook or a criticism of the country, any country at large. I think it is much more complex, and there are things happening around the world over time which just tend to manifest in different ways. And as much as Poland back 30 years ago might have had some problems, now it has others, and it always will have some. And so United States as well, I bet nowadays you, my dear listener, if you are a part of United States, you might also find some things now better than they were before, while some being worse off than what your parents or your parents' parents had available to them, you know? And the interesting thing here is what we think we know until we learn the truth, and what that truth really means, as well as how interesting, as well as scary this truth seeking and finding can be. So I, looking back, you know, I wouldn't be myself the way I am right now if I wasn't the way I was when I was younger. So there is a benefit to the dreamy ideals I've had in my head before. And of course, in the future, I will also probably change some parts of my character and nature because of the experiences I have and the knowledge I gain and the explorations I encounter. I think the podcast itself is a great way for me also to go deeper into the insights I explore on my own, because I get to articulate them to you and therefore sort of face them on terms that are unlike any other. It's not only writing them down, but also trying to put them into words that are understandable for others in an easy and sort of appreciate-seeking way. And so the American dream is not necessarily what it used to be. And certainly the American dream of the future might not be, certainly it won't be as it is right now. And the same for countries worldwide. So the conclusions that the author really draws from her explorations comes down to recognizing the benefits as well as the shortcomings of different spaces and ways of organizing the country, the society, the state, the government, and as well your own life. And it seems to me like there is a spirit of self-sufficiency and agency of an individual which really, really resonates with what I understand the United States stands for. And in many ways, Europe also stands for that. I can see how individualism is valued in my environment, in my community, which is also, you know, still Western in a sense of those, if we are to draw somewhat of border. And it's just interesting to see that countries such as Denmark, which might be perceived by others who do not know how it is to live in Denmark, and I also was that person a few years back, as a country that is so focused on this social support that they don't allow the individuals to live their best life the way they want to, and to be the pioneers of this new way of individual living. And according to the author, there is much more agency and self-power within societies that take care of basic needs of the individual while leaving the space for them to thrive and strive where they want to, without worrying about this financial and health-based problems. So finally, because I don't want to give you too much, and these are definitely quite dense ideas to ponder, I wanted to just mention for whom this book might be. If you are, and as I said, I understand it's unusual choice for the season, and I promise not every book of this season will be so out of place in terms of our, let's say, philosophy and psychology driven endeavors we do. But I don't want to give you too much out because I believe you'll like some of the surprises. So first of all, if you want to move to either United States or one of the Nordic countries, I think it's a very relevant book to those people. If you are thinking about those things, I certainly am to a degree. So I found this book very useful and empowering as well as informative. If you believe that either or, you know, either of the countries that I've mentioned or either of the societal spaces that we've talked about are XYZ, this book might be for you, so you can debunk some of the myths you've heard, as well as explore some of these ideas from a different perspective. I found myself initially feeling like I'm going to be reading somewhat of a socially socialist driven discourse to warm up to the ideas there and even clashing them with some of my preconceived notions. And I don't know whether or not, you know, I've learned it all. Certainly the book itself might be reread a couple of times, but the things that resonated with me made me wonder and made me think about things differently, which is why I thought it's a suitable book for you to explore. And finally, if you are simply intrigued about those ideas or about the happiness statistics, the happiness index that since 2015 has been explored and so forth, I found this book easy to read and very interesting. So here we are. I hope that it's going to be a useful read for you as well, or a listen for that matter. Now, the invitation for you for this week, as per usual, I will leave you with one, is to list the many or few things that you have in your life that you are grateful for, and recognize which ones of them are supported or provided by either the state, the community you're surrounding yourself with, or the wider space you are in, for example, European Union. And this is just a little exercise to make you aware of just how privileged and grateful you are. And it pays off to be grateful, you know? It's a positive attitude to embark on. And it's useful sometimes to think about the things that you do have and that you enjoy, rather than constantly mulling over the problems and challenges you have in your life. Those challenges and problems will always be there, and as we progress, with progress comes some level of obstacles and challenges, but for the most part it's useful to reflect and recognize the things that we do have, that we are blessed with. So yeah, I hope, guys, that this was really an interesting and hopefully supportive in your own way podcast. Please let me know if you like this. This way I will know whether or not to explore more of such books. Otherwise, we will continue with our season and hopefully we'll have some more insightful and interesting ideas to ponder. So have a wonderful week. Stay happy, stay healthy, and I'll see you next time.